It's that time, the time for living the good life, right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. And we are very glad that every single one of you are listening today or later on in the future, that you're, if you're not listening live, that you can hear us at some other time. And we are extremely excited about today. Today is the day of our wonderful resurrection, that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and our Lord and Savior. And that is so amazing to be able to celebrate his resurrection on this show, which is what we're doing today, along with something other, another little special event that's happening today. And I am extremely blessed, but first let me introduce, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, been in this chair quite a while with y'all, and I'm looking through the glass right now from the control room into the studio, where we've got a packed house today. Five of our team members are sitting, well, Nan's almost here, so she'll be the fifth one that'll be in there in the studio in just a few minutes. And Nathan, I believe, are you on the line right now, Nathan? Are you there? Oh, nope, lost the call. All right, maybe we'll call back. All right, so we got Nathan calling in. We've got Cindy calling in later, and it's going to be basically most of our team today. And what is really weird and fun and great is that Betty Thomas from Connersville, Indiana, and her dear daughter Megan Kramer and little baby Zoe Grace are right here in the studio live with us today. And that only happens about once a year, and this is the time for that to happen. They come and visit, and they have chosen to visit on this particular wonderful day. And wait a minute, let me get those mics on, everybody. Hang on. Get everybody's mics on. All right. Betty, it's a joy to have you right there in the studio.
Oh, it's great to be here. I just am in awe to be able to be here live.
Isn't it cool?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, no. And it's great to have you here. We're going to share a couple mics in there. Pastor Jim's getting his all set up, so Angel, are you really there, right there in person?
I am here, live and in person.
Yes, and this is our famous Dr. Angel from our Thursday night show that we do together, Go Yard. And you're a member of this radio team now also. You joined us a few months ago, and we love having your input. You're such a blessing. And beside you is Megan Kramer holding her baby, and we'll get some headphones on her in a second. All right, we're good.
Hi.
Looking good. There you go.
Can you
hear me? Angel can help you adjust that mic. We hear you just fine. Megan, you came with your mama and your daughter, and are you having a good time in Florida? You can't hear?
Now I can hear you.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
So you said we came to Florida with mama.
You got to get close to the mic.
We came to Florida with mama and Zoe.
Yes, you did. And are you having fun?
I am having fun.
We'll get back to you in a little while. We'll let you continue feeding the baby here. And straight ahead of me is the man in the red shirt. the famous, the one, the only, Pastor Jim Elsberry.
Hey, everybody.
Yes. Wow, our dear associate pastor. And he and I have been working together for a number of years now and just love ministering with you on a weekly basis. And PJ, why don't you tell everybody where we were this morning?
We were out at Dunedin Causeway at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
We had our Resurrection Sunday service out there.
Yes, we did.
It was great. The weather, praise God, was very nice.
Very nice.
Unlike that one
right.
particular sunrise service we had where it was just blustery cold. But today was perfect. Sun was shining.
It was.
We had a nice crowd.
Right.
And it was just such a blessing. First of all, because I was thinking about this later, what a witness. I mean, you know, here we're out here, we're just not like singing hymns. We were praising God.
We were praising God. That's right.
And, you know, I'm really just praying the people that went by, because there were a lot of people running, walking.
There were.
You know, with their dogs and stuff. I'm just really praying that, you know, something that maybe they heard when one of us, me,
right.
you, or Betty were speaking as we
right.
were praising God.
You never know.
I'm praying that one of them was touched by
Well,
that.
Some of them were waving. I don't know if y'all saw me waving a few times. People, I didn't know who these people were, but they were waving. It was cool. It was great. And we had a wonderful time and then a brunch together. And so now here we are at this big event. And it's not just the resurrection of our Lord that we're celebrating today, which is amazing in itself that we have all of you right here in the studio to share in this show. But it is also, and I don't know how to do the drum roll in here on the computer, so I can't do a drum roll, but you can do your bell there. All right, you guys do a drum roll. Woo! That's good, team. It is the 10th anniversary show, down to the day that we began this show in mid-April of 2007. 10 years to the day, and that is extremely exciting. And how it turned out to come up on Resurrection Sunday, only God could have planned that. That is nothing that we ever set out to do. It's just when we decided to start the show, and then here we are 10 years to the day later. PJ, you got to comment on that, because that is just, to me, amazing.
It is amazing, and, you know, there are no coincidences
right.
in God's world.
Right.
And it just fits so perfectly. I mean, 10 years, you know, 2 and 5, we've got grace, we've got covenant.
Right.
You know, see, I'm getting to be just like you.
Yes, you are. Right.
And it just fits perfectly for this Sunday,
yes.
where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
And like I said this morning, it's not only his resurrection, but our resurrection. It's when
Amen.
We get to walk into new life.
Yes.
And 10 years, that's a whole decade. And it's like we're moving into
wow.
a new season.
We are.
Now.
And this is show, we think, 528. So, and we're going to talk to Nathan when he calls in here, because he and Connie were on that very first show. And we want to mention Connie and some of the other team members that were with us through the years. There were so many. Michelle and Catherine, Terry and Aaron, Madeline. I'm forgetting some, I'm sure, but some that came and went and were here for a part of the time and then went on and did other things. But Connie in particular was with us for 7 years on the show and actually was our music coordinator for those years, 6 years, I guess, 6 years, and the music coordinator all those years. She couldn't be with us today, but we miss her, and we just want her to know how much this show appreciates all that she gave to the audience all those years. I mean, amazing. So Nathan will be on in a little while. And so there's Nan just coming through the door. And Betty, just you joined the team about how long ago, you and Megan? Yeah, I think about the same time, didn't you?
Yeah, about the same time, about 5-6 years.
Okay, that's a long time. And you and Megan were part of the church I pastored in Indiana. And I believe you started coming to church clear back in the late 80s.
Yeah, it probably was, I'd say, probably 87, 88. Megan was 8 or 9.
Megan was 8 or 9, and I was, what, 20 or something? Or?
I think 19.
19, yeah. Okay, well, that's not exactly true, but that's okay. We'll just go with that. We are going to start this first show or this show today on this wonderful day with a very old song, one of Pastor Jim's favorite songs. So Rise Again. Whoa, just a minute. It messed up. Hang on just a second. Go ahead, Pastor Jim, say something while I fix this. I don't know what happened to it. But it did. It just went on to a different show.
Well, I'm just rejoicing that this is Resurrection
there we go.
Sunday.
Okay.
I mean, this is when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and that sets us apart from every other religion.
Yes.
You know, ours is not a man becoming God. Ours is God became a man.
Right.
Died for us and rose
Whoa,
again.
Whoa, that's a great point. Whoa. And so we'll start with Dallas Holmes' song, Rise Again. Love this song. It's old like Betty and Pastor Jim. But me.
Okay.
And me.
That's fine.
It's been around for a while, but we love it.
Go ahead. Drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. I love that old Dallas Home song. So good, so good. And Nan just got through the door coming from another Easter service with her parents, and here she is. And God just gave you a poem during that song. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
Go ahead with it.
I will do much in your life. Of your binds, you will be free. Today is the day for you. Look to me. You can trust me. I love you so very much. I gave my life for you. It was done so you could be free of your binds, be through. Listen to what I say here today. You will learn so much this day. You will be so freed, and to me you will decide to... I can't read it. To me you will decide to have peace. Pray for your freedom. It's here.
Praise God. Praise God. And so, you know, this Resurrection Day, and as we celebrate this huge anniversary for our show, it all goes hand in hand, Betty. It's we got to think about how the resurrection applies to us and how it affects our life on a daily basis. And it does, if we will stop a moment and think about what Jesus did on the cross and why he did it and how he did it so willingly.
Well, I think we addressed that this morning, is when we need to focus on the resurrection 365 days a year,
yeah,
rather than just one day a year.
Absolutely.
Which would be today.
Right.
Because it gives us the freedom that we have today to be free.
Right.
To be free from the chains of bondage. To be able to love, and to be able to love one another the way that Christ loves us.
Oh, amen. Amen. It does do that very thing. Pastor Jim, don't you think a lot of people don't really realize the significance of the resurrection and how it applies to our lives on a daily basis?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I kind of gave this example this morning. The church I grew up in, I won't mention what it was, but we heard about the resurrection on Easter.
Right, sure.
You know, Easter Sunday, we heard about the resurrection. And I think for so many churches, that's the only time that they do talk about it, kind of like Christmas.
Right.
You know? But St. Augustine said, we are a resurrection people, and hallelujah is our song.
And oh, that's good.
We need to remember that, because we are resurrected.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
You know, because Jesus died and went to the cross, he took us there too.
Exactly.
He took us to the grave. He brought us out of the grave so that we can live a new life.
Right.
Wow, I could start really preaching now. But I mean, it's because he rose from the dead, because he still lives, we can have a new life. We can live a new life every day.
Yes.
We can have hope. I'm about to break into "Because He Lives." But, you know, we can face tomorrow because of the hope that we have.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we serve a risen Savior.
Oh, amen. I want to take us to Isaiah 53 for just a minute, for a couple verses, as we begin the story and talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection, because it was written 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. The prophet Isaiah wrote what the Messiah was going to do. And it says here, and I have the Message Bible, so I'm not sure what verse it is, maybe 4. The fact is, it was our pains he carried. And that word there, carried, is the word in Hebrew, NASA, N-A-S-A. Like, and the way I've always remembered it is the space program, NASA, because it means that he lifted them away. He carried them away. So the prophet Isaiah is saying the Messiah is coming, and this is what is going to happen. He will carry our burdens away. This applies to every single one of us on a daily basis. Angel, talk about this, because so often we carry around all these things that Jesus has already taken for us, and maybe we just don't understand that.
We do. I think we walk around kind of living that defeated life at times.
Oh, yeah.
We're just hanging on to it. And I think we feel like we have to handle it all ourselves.
Yes.
And we don't. We have a higher power. We have God Almighty, and
right.
He can handle anything and everything that we're going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because of what he did on the cross, it is not just our sins, but let's go on down. In the Message Bible, the couple verses down, it says it was our sins that did that to him, that made him have to go to the cross. It was our sins, right? And then it says that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment. This is a point I want to get to. So important. Megan, are you able to talk there in just a second? He took the punishment that made us whole, and through his bruises, we get healed. This is prophesied. This is amazing to me. I love this. That 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, he was already saying, here's what the Messiah is going to do. He takes our bruises and all of our pains and hurts. You can identify with that, little mama.
I can. And that significance should be so gigantically huge for people.
Gigantically huge. I agree.
I could not think of a better vocabulary word. Do not laugh at me, Dr. Angel.
it's true, though.
Is that, you know, no matter what we're carrying,
right,
is that the Lord can sympathize with us.
Yes.
Physical hurts.
Right.
He was beat to death. I mean, that brings us all to tears when we've seen it,
right,
you know, in some of these reenactment films and whatever. But the brutal things that he went through for us,
right,
was so selfless. I mean,
Totally.
I mean, for someone to do that, to step up to the plate and do that, it took such courage and
right,
such faith in his Father.
Right.
That to stand in the gap for us.
Right.
For eternity.
Right.
It's monumental.
It is. And the fact we celebrate his resurrection today, but the few days prior to his resurrection is when all the pain and suffering took place, right, Pastor Jim? And the 39 lashes, do you want to talk about those a second? With all the leather straps, 12 of them?
See, if I let her go long enough, she'll explain it all.
No, that's okay. I'm not going to. I just gave you a lead in. You go right ahead. You go.
We love to banter that.
I know. You do. It's all right. I can take it.
He was, Jesus already in the garden had sweat blood.
Yes.
I mean, that shows the tremendous emotional strain he was under when he was praying to his Father, begging him, if there's any other way for this to happen, let it happen. And yet he surrendered himself to the Father's will.
Yes.
Even though he knew it meant he would have to go through death. So it started there. And then, of course, he was humiliated, slapped around by the chief priests and the scribes. I mean, they slapped him and said, well, prophesy to us, you Messiah.
Right.
Then they sent him over to Pilate, and he got the same sort of treatment. And then Pilate was trying not to have him crucified, so he said, well, let me scourge him. And they used the Roman scourge on him, which
yes,
was basically a cat of nine tails with pieces of bone or sharp metal at the end of each of the flails.
Right.
And so basically, you know, basically it just ripped his skin off. I mean, it was just shredded. The skin was shredded. And, of course, then they put the crown of thorns on his head.
Right.
Made him carry his own cross. And, by that time, Jesus was so weak, he couldn't do it. They had to get Simon of Cyrene to help him to carry it. And then they crucified him, which was the most humiliating form of punishment that
had
ever been devised. Yeah, I mean, those, of course, we always see him with at least a loincloth.
But he didn't have that.
Completely naked on the cross. Having been already tortured, crucifixion was unimaginable. If you want to get kind of an idea, read Psalm 22.
Yes.
Because that prophetically describes Jesus on the cross.
Right.
All my bones are out of joint. My heart is melted within me. Because you had to support in order to breathe, you had to support the weight of your body on the nail through your feet.
Wow.
You had to support your body weight so you could stand up enough to breathe. When you relaxed, you would be hanging so that you couldn't breathe.
Right.
So it was kind of a back and forth sort of thing. Sometimes that would go on for days. Of course, we know what happened in Jesus' case. He willingly gave up his life.
He willingly did.
And when they broke the legs of the other two robbers that were crucified with him, when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, which fulfilled another scripture.
Yes, it did.
That not one of his bones would be broken. And what they pierced his side with a spear, and water and blood came out. And, you know, unimaginable.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not demeaning, because I love things like, you know, Jesus of Nazareth and those kind of movies. I love those. By and large, they're pretty sanitized.
Because it was worse, probably.
It was far worse. The one that comes closest is The Passion.
The Passion, yeah.
To showing what it was really like. And I think sometimes, you know, we see that little sanitized picture of Jesus on the cross. And no,
it's not the way it looked at all.
That's not how it looked. It was horrible. And yet, like you read here, he did it. And can I have the New Living. And
sure.
Just kind of a...
Go ahead.
Kind of cool the way it says it. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down.
Yes.
And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
It's hard to read that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me go on. In the Message Bible, verse 7 of Isaiah 53, he was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word, which is also prophetic. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. And, you know, over in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he'd give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And today, we're going to talk about the life that comes from this death. It was horrible. 12 different strands in that whip with all this, like Pastor Jim just said, 39 lashes. That's like 468 stripes. We talk about the stripes on Jesus. That's what those were. And we're going to go to a song, The God of Calvary by Chris Tomlin. But I'll tell you, Betty, you want to comment on this before we go to that song? Just how that, what Jesus did really, really gets down on the inside of us, doesn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes when I think about it, and I think we talked about this when we were going to brunch, is that to fathom sending your son, your only son, to
right.
die.
Yes.
And to be able to free us for the things that sometimes that we don't deserve.
Right.
And it's always brought me to tears, even reading scripture, even in my alone time. It's mind-boggling what he did.
I
mean, I still cannot to this day, and I'm 60 plus years old, and I still can't fathom someone doing that for me.
Oh,
but he did.
But he did. He's the God of Calvary.
On the hill of Calvary, the light of all the world, with the world on his shoulders, the weight of all our shame on him who knew no sin, a holy surrender. The sky went dark, the angels wept, the Father looked away. Calvary.
Praise God, I love this song. It says so much about what happened that day. Go with us to Matthew 27, verse 45. Thank you, Chris Tomlin, for another amazing song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries and on our special Resurrection Day program, but also on the fact that it's our 10th anniversary today, and that's pretty cool. And listening to that song, it just doesn't it just take you to that day and just wonder what it was like to be at the foot of the cross and see all this happening? Let's go to verse 45 of Matthew 27. And Angel, I'm going to get you involved here. From noon to 3, the whole earth was dark. Around mid-afternoon, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly. And I can't pronounce that, Pastor Jim, but you can, Hebrew scholar. Greek. Wait a minute. Whoa, I got to get your mics back on. I turned them off so that you guys could chat during that song. Go ahead. You're Ailey, all on again. You're all on again.
Okay. Ailey, Ailey, lama sabachthani.
Yes. Which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? And Angel, why did he feel so abandoned? You want to talk about that a minute? Because, I mean, he did. Because he was there hanging on the cross, you know?
Well, I think in those moments, there's huge loneliness that came across.
Right, yes.
He was carrying the sins of the world on him at that moment in time.
Right.
And God can't look at sin.
So right.
God wasn't, you know, that presence. He was feeling, I think, that separation in that one moment of
yes.
time.
Yes. Yes, I do believe he was feeling that. I find it fascinating that the whole earth got dark from 12 to 3. That's noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Isn't that when the sun's the hottest? We say that's when the sun's the hottest in Florida, right? And during that period of time, the sky was dark. Betty, talk about this. I mean, can you imagine standing there at the foot of the cross and the sky gets entirely black and gets really nasty looking like you know a big storm is coming?
Well, I think if I were standing at the foot of the cross at that point in time, I would be terrified.
Exactly, yeah. I think you summed it up for all of us.
That might not be a good vocabulary word to use.
I think it is. It's a good vocabulary word.
But if you look at the point where you're coming from, maybe a sun, like today, if you know how beautiful it is
outside. It's gorgeous today.
And then from 12 on, it's just completely dark because I think people would want to take shelter because they didn't know what was coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, terrified, horrified. But yet they didn't know what was happening. And I think it's one of those things where people, if they don't know what's going on, that makes it even worse.
Exactly. I think darkness usually symbolizes the devil and symbolizes evil and all that. And what's interesting here is the devil was so out to kill Jesus. He tried several times during his ministry when he would be preaching something or healing on the Sabbath, and people hated that. And the devil would try to get people all upset with him, and the plan was throw Jesus off a cliff or whatever. And here you come. He's lived here 33 years, and he is on a cross. And you got to see that old song that Carmen did years ago, how the devil is just like, so excited. Oh, wow, I got him just right where I want him. You know, he's going to die in a few minutes. This is it. The devil's stupid. He didn't realize there was more coming after the death, right?
That's right.
But in the sky at noon, think about what must have been going on in people's hearts and minds. Oh, Megan, do you want to comment on this? Because I think this is so cool how God changed the elements right there and caused the sky to be black from 12 to 3.
Well, you know, I have watched The Passion of Christ.
Right.
And that part of the movie when the sky goes dark
is, yeah,
everyone kind of hollers because it you're like, because the sun,
yes,
just disappears.
Right.
And, you know, that's when they pan in on that. The person that was playing the devil,
right,
and it's just,
right,
it's that eerie, creepy,
right,
give you goosebumps type of,
yes,
of moment.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, now what's coming now? It's like, do we crouch and duck, or, you know, is there lightning going to strike us? Because when it gets dark, you know, typically there's a storm coming.
Right.
But it was to mark such an important moment of time that how much control that God has over every situation.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah. And go ahead, Pastor Jim, with that. Let me say something, and then I'll let you say something here. Because right at then, when you take out light, which is what the devil was trying to do, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So the devil comes against the very thing that Jesus said he was. And you know, the devil's got to be stunned that there's no light. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. And I think part of it is the Father turned away at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
absolutely,
I think it was hard for the Father to look on.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
You know, for our Father God to look upon this.
Yes.
And it was for 3 hours. So this was no storm. This was no eclipse, which would have been impossible anyway.
Right.
You know, this was just a miraculous absence of light.
Absolutely.
And getting back to one of the points you made a couple minutes ago over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, talking about God's wisdom. And it says, but the rulers of this world have not understood it, meaning God's wisdom. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
That's right.
You know, Satan thought he'd won when Jesus went to the cross. And you mentioned that Carmen song. It's like, you know, Jesus is down in the depths of Sheol and snatches the keys away and heads back up, you know, to reunite his spirit with his body.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure Satan and all the demons were just real gleeful about that.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Until Jesus snatched the keys away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he says in Revelation, I have the keys to death and Hades.
Yes.
I've got them.
Yeah.
So he took them away from the devil.
And you know what I love about all this, and then Betty, I want to talk to you about this, is that Satan could not kill him. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus willingly yielded up his spirit at exactly the precise time that the Passover lamb was being killed in the tabernacle, because he is the Passover lamb. To me, that is one another. There's so many amazing things here. The sky, 12 to 3, that Jesus willingly died voluntarily. He did not, nobody killed him. Will comment on that?
Yes, I think it was Wednesday when we had the Seder dinner, is that I learned a lot about how the Old Testament relates to,
yes,
the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that just mesmerized me was when Pastor Jim was talking about the same thing.
Right.
Is that the lamb that was crucified, it was our lamb
yes.
that was slain
yes.
on the cross at Calvary.
Right.
And there's no coincidence here, people.
No, none.
There is none.
None.
This is prophetic. This is the word of God. The word of God is true.
Yes.
Every word, every syllable, every sentence, every period is true to fact.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's been people that's trying to, you know, disprove this. But, you know, to the Christians, to the people who do believe in the word of God, that it is true, I believe.
Amen.
I believe, and I know that if people would just give the Lord a chance,
right,
they could see a difference in their own lives.
Well, you know, it's really that thing of choosing to believe that this is the written word of God, the inspired word of God. Angel, comment on this, will you, from a PhD's perspective of how so many times in people that. I'm just going to give you a lead in here.
All right.
There is a commercial right now going that I can't stand, and it is by the son of one of our former presidents. And he gets on there and he says, you guys don't know who I'm talking about, okay? Initials were RR. And he gets on there and he says, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. And there needs to be a separation of church and state. And in the last line, he says, I am not afraid and ashamed to say that I am not afraid of burning in hell. That's his last statements on that commercial. And every time that comes on, it just goes all through me because of the ignorance here. You should be afraid of burning in hell. Go ahead, Angel.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It shows there's an ignorance in our society. And,
yes.
And a group of people who don't. Believe. You know, I know a few years ago, maybe a decade or more ago, years seem to slip by a little quicker on me, but Lee Strobel put out a book, The Case for Christ. And I think that was kind of the whole premise of this, was he was an atheist trying to prove
yes.
God did not exist, and in that, he found God.
Right. And it happens over and over again, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, isn't that the premise? I haven't seen God's Not Dead, the movie. I need to see that. But isn't that the premise of that? Megan, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, the movie is based on a teacher who is a non-believer.
Right.
And the student that stands up and takes his stand and says, you can fail me or pass me, but I'm going to continue my faith believing in God.
Wow.
And he tests this guy to the nth degree. I mean, it's awesome to watch. And, you know, he finally accepts the Lord, and then I kill the movie for everybody, but the gentleman that was the non-believer was actually killed by a car on his way to the Newsboys concert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an awesome movie, and the second one is just as good.
Can't wait to see it. So even though people through the ages have said, oh, this stuff can't happen, it is historically recorded also, isn't it, Pastor Jim?
Oh, absolutely.
Josephus?
Yeah, Josephus made note of it.
Yes.
It's
not just in the Bible, guys.
Right. Well, I mean, trying to disprove that Jesus was a historical person is useless. I mean,
yeah.
There are just too many records outside of the Bible
right.
that make reference to a historic Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, thinking about the resurrection, there's comments by pagan authors that, you know, say, well, this is what they believe is this. And, but we have eyewitnesses.
Yeah, these are eyewitness accounts.
Mary Magdalene was an
right.
eyewitness.
So was John. So was Peter.
Yeah. You know, the rest of the disciples.
They were eyewitness accounts. Yeah.
Amazing. You
yes.
know?
Amen.
And why? I mean, just the fact that we started out the show talking about like resurrection life.
Right.
I tell you what, I have not served a dead God for 44
right.
almost
He's alive.
44 years
right.
now.
Praise God.
I serve a living, I
amen.
Serve the living God.
Amen. Amen and amen. Absolutely. Wow. So there's so many interesting things that happen right here at the moment that Jesus yields up his spirit. Now, Jesus did not have a watch.
He did not have a cell phone on him to know exactly what time 3 o'clock was. Okay. But at 3 o'clock, right around that time, Jesus willingly, it says, breathed his last. It's verse 50 of Matthew 27. He willingly did that. The devil could not take his life. They could not kill him. And we talked earlier about how prophecy said that there would not be a bone in his body broken, and there was not, because he willingly died before they came around and broke the legs of the thieves. Betty, what does that do to you? I mean, that Jesus willingly did this?
A selfless act for you and I.
Yeah.
When you do something willingly,
right,
you do it without hesitation.
Yeah.
You do it out of love. You do it out of not wanting anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to save the lives of his people.
Right.
Us.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I had pictured myself many years ago, what would I have done if I had been at the foot of the cross?
Right.
And I kind of have a rebellious spirit. I would have tried to stop it, not knowing why he was doing it.
Right.
But if I had been a follower,
right,
at that point in time, I would have wept uncontrollably at that point at 3 p.m. when he,
right,
passed away. But knowing all of the times through all of the scripture that he was coming back,
mm-hmm,
and that he was sending a comforter,
right,
to help us and to comfort us, mm-hmm, in our time of need.
But it's interesting, and I so agree with everything you just said. It's so interesting. The disciples were not really in tune with this whole big picture plan, were they? Megan, you want to comment on that, about the big picture plan here that God had, that the disciples just seemed to be kind of out in left field, especially when it came to resurrection morning, it seems like?
Well, you know, it's because probably they were more focused on the now.
Right.
More focused on that moment.
Right.
And the sadness that they were feeling of what was coming.
Right.
Even though they couldn't grasp what was coming. But, you know, our humanness, we get caught up in the emotions.
Exactly.
We get caught up, and it really can stop us from focusing on the big picture.
Right.
It really does, because death in itself does that to us.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to stop time.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to look at life as being eternal, especially,
right,
if you don't grasp this concept.
Yes.
Especially if you don't believe this concept.
Right.
But once you realize the magnitude of what took place for us,
right,
for our little old selves,
yes,
you know, it'll change your outlook on life.
Oh, it does.
It did mine.
It does, because Jesus willingly went to the cross. And so at that moment, everybody look here at verse 51 of Matthew 27. At that moment, you see, God has perfect timing. He absolutely does. And so often we struggle with God's timing and we get pretty frustrated about it. But when God has a plan and he fulfills it to the moment, to the letter, I don't know about y'all, but my faith just rises clear to the top when I see God's plan enacted. And here's what happened. At the moment that Jesus willingly gave up his spirit, the curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies in the tabernacle ripped. And it says right here in verse 51, the temple was ripped in two, top to bottom. There was an earthquake. The rocks were split in pieces. What's more, tombs were open. I'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about this big, huge curtain. Guys, it was 60 feet tall. Now, can you imagine a curtain ripping on its own accord that is 60 feet tall? Not only that, can you imagine it ripping from the top to the bottom? Angel, you're up. That is wild, isn't it?
I don't even think it's something we can fathom in our own, you know, mind and human thinking, because it's definitely divine.
Oh, it was not any little tiny curtain either. This was a heavy partition. And yeah, it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. I don't even think we have anything in our schemas and our brains to, you know, try and
to
measure
this,
that against, because it just, it's divine.
But this, there's a spiritual principle here. Oh, my. Pastor Jim, I can see him. He's chomping at the bit. He's got to say what it is. What is this spiritual principle? We get so excited about all this, don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this separated God's presence from everything else.
Yes.
And the fact that it was ripped from the top to the bottom signifies that it was God's doing, not man.
Amen.
God himself opened the way back into fellowship with him. It had nothing to do with whatever we could do because he himself ripped that curtain from top to bottom.
And because of that, Hebrews 4 says we can now go boldly to the throne of grace.
Throne of grace.
Jesus Messiah. Love it.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
Jesus Messiah. Praise God. I love that song. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. And it looks like Nan has a poem right hot off of the plate from God Almighty.
Hot off the plate.
All of us.
I can read this one.
Okay. Were you crying before?
I was.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Oh, apps more okay. than okay.
Okay, just checking.
More than okay.
I mean, I would still cry anyway if it wasn't okay, but anyway. I love you, Pastor. I gave my life for you because I love you so much. Accept my eternal life now of your situations I will touch. I am here knocking at your heart's door. Will you accept me into your heart? You will be able to live a new life and of this Christian walk start. I am here. I love you so much. So what will your answer be today? It's simple. Ask me in to ask for my forgiveness when you pray. I will come in. You can count on me.
Oh, praise God. Boy, that's an invitation from God Almighty to our audience, isn't it, Betty? Because there's so many people that listen week after week. And I tell you, this is our 528th show. And probably most of the shows we've done, we do an invitation for people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, don't we, Betty? And it's so important to us here.
Yeah, it is. And it's important to him most of all. Because he is coming back soon.
Yes.
And he wants as many of his children as he can possibly bring in.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, an invitation is something that a lot of people just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, with that song, People Need the Lord.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more prominent now
right.
than any other time.
Because we need the Lord.
Because people do need the Lord.
Amen. We're going to talk a lot about the resurrection in our second hour. We've kind of talked about the crucifixion, but one last little point here is that when Jesus came out of the tomb, it says in Matthew 27, which is just bizarre to me, tombs opened up in Jerusalem, and it says many bodies of believers that were asleep in their graves were raised. They left their tombs, they entered the holy city, and they appeared to many. Pastor Jim, this had to be crazy!
That must have been, and we don't know who these Old Testament saints were that came up out of their grave.
And walked around.
It seems like they hung around in the graveyards until the resurrection, then they walked into Jerusalem.
And then they walked into Jerusalem.
I just can't imagine how that must have startled people.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh, it's weird.
Imagine if it was, I don't know, Solomon, David.
Right.
Josiah, you know.
It just had to be,
Isaiah.
Crazy.
You know?
Crazy.
Because apparently, I believe they got their resurrection bodies at that point.
Right. They must have gone on to heaven.
Gone on to heaven.
After they goofed around.
After they strolled through Jerusalem talking about Jesus.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine Isaiah if one of them was Isaiah? See, I told you so.
I told you so. Back in remember chapter 53 in my book.
I told you this over 700 years ago.
Isn't that great? You know, this is just also shows just God's humor to me. That he is just so... He just loves us so much, and not just his humor, but his ability to take things like that veil in the temple and rip it from the top to the bottom so that it couldn't have been done by human hands. No, they didn't have ladders or cranes that could go 6 feet tall, 60 feet tall, I mean. They couldn't cause dead bodies to come out of tombs and walk around. This just shows the power of Almighty God. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. And if you just joined us, this is Living the Good Life. And this is our Resurrection Day show. But it's also our 10th anniversary, which we're going to talk about in just a second as soon as I do station ID. We've been on this same station, this show, since mid-April of 2007. And it's pretty cool. And we're going to talk about that with our team in just a moment. And listen to station ID because we're on 5 stations around here and several around the world. Whoa. Okay, hang on.
DHR, Zephyr Hills.
That was FM 104.3.
Listen.